Well, good morning and happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I love saying that. You guys love saying that?
Yes.
Sometimes I catch myself. We had a church event. We're from Crowley, the Crowley Seventh Adventist Church. But long story short, we had an event on a Sunday morning. And I was just in that mode. You know where I'm going? I saw one of my brothers and I said, happy Sabbath. And he just looked at me and he just laughed. Because that's, you know, what we used to do, right? We're used to accustomed saying happy Sabbath, right, when we see each other. But it truly is a happy Sabbath, and it's good to see your smiling faces today. I was just talking to my wife as we drove in yesterday. I don't know, Julie, how many years I've had the blessing, or our family's had the blessing to come to Mount Pleasant Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's got to be, 10 or more at least. Yeah, before our kids, right? And some of you may know the story of our children. We're older parents, so I won't go too long into that, but we're older parents, but God has blessed us with children, so we've got three young boys. So my name is Heath Archer, my wife Jacqueline Archer, and our sons, three sons, Boone, Hudson, and Luke Archer, and we are just glad and happy to be here today with you guys, worshiping alongside of you, lifting up the name of Jesus, right? Amen. Now, by trade or profession, I'm in sales management, so I'm not a pastor, so please, I'm not a pastor. I'm just an elder at the Crowley Church, but once again, I had the opportunity years ago to step out in faith and to say I would be willing to be used by God in whatever capacity He felt He needed to use me. And that really ties into what we'll be talking about today. But before we get into the story, I would like to open with a word of prayer. Father God, once again, I just want to thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. I thank you for the opportunity that we all have to worship you in spirit and in truth. As mentioned earlier, as prayed for earlier, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this place, upon each and every one of our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we may hear the words, not from me, but directly from you, to our hearts, to our ears, through our ears and to our minds, that we may then take that message and take those learnings from you and then pass it along to others. We love you and we thank you for this day once again. Bless this church, bless this service, and may we have just a wonderful day after the service and throughout the week. We love you and we thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would like to start by saying, you know, the title of my sermon, I'm normally pretty scripted. This is kind of how, in the business world, I kind of set things up when I do presentations, so I'm going to be a little scripted today, but I'm also going to be reading from the Word, from the NIV version, so I know some of you guys may have the King James, New King James, Clear Word. I'll be reading out of the NIV today, so just bear with me on that, and I like to read, so we'll read, and as Jim mentioned, there's only four chapters in the book of Ruth. It's a short book. But there's a lot packed into it. There's a lot of wonderful things that of this love story between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law and the Lord. And the Lord's guiding throughout this whole process. So there's an overarching theme that I want us to take away or to be listening for throughout today's message. And Julie said, and then the team said, I only have about an hour to speak today. So I'll try to cram that all in just a short amount of time. And I got a thumbs up back there. So thank you for that. But key words to focus on would be that I pulled out was determination, being intentional, and to be influential. So, as we look in that, and I'm going to be covering Ruth, just the first chapter of Ruth. I'll be reading through and discussing, and then we'll have a discourse, and then we'll loop back into Ruth chapter 4. And there'll be just a little discourse there to kind of put a bow tie on Ruth in the fourth chapter, in the end of chapter. So, we will see, or what I hope we will see today, is that Ruth's selfless act to give up what she knew to follow in faith and the impact or the implication that that had by those simple steps. Reason for choosing the title, I always like to lay it out once again. Why are we choosing this? What's the why behind it? For me, I want us to look at into two categories throughout Ruth. The first category during our message today is a more of an inward look. Self-perspective, self-introspect, right? The second portion or the second category I'd like to look for you to look at or think about is outwardly, the outward perspective and how you can then impact others instead of self. So, opportunity to look at your own personal relationship or walk with the Lord. That's the first one. And those questions might be, am I doing what needs to be done to harness the power of one? And I'll get a little bit more into the power of one. Because most of the times when you hear the power of one, you're thinking, well, you're just talking about one person. That's not what I'm talking about today. So once again, I'll get into that. But the power of one and that title really reverberates the message of when we partner with Christ, when we heed Christ's calling in our lives, and we join Him, we truly are a power of one. Now, what I mean by that is the ripple effects of one person or one act can reverberate for years and affect many, good or bad, down the line. The second category, as I mentioned earlier, that outward look or that outward perspective, is to look outwardly into your influence with your personal network, i.e. family, your friends. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Am I willing to step out of my comfort zone to share the good news of the gospel with family and friends? You know, a lot of times it's easy for us to get caught up. I was just thinking about this earlier this week with this, you know, willingness to step out, you know, for people that are in your church, your family, your friends, that you may think, you know, everything's good in their life. I assume that everything's good in your life, right? You see somebody at church, as my friend used to say, don't church it up. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, you know, people come to church and they dress real nice. And they say, hey, happy Sabbath. How's it going? Oh, good. I had a great week. Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good in my life. How about you, Jim? Oh, yeah, everything's good in my life, too. Then you go on. You sit down. You hear the message. You do your thing. But what's really going on inside? That's the point, right? What is really going on? What am I? What is Heath missing from my buddy, David, at church? Or Elias? Am I truly asking what's going on in our lives? Do I really care enough to implore further? That's the question today. Look outwardly. Step out in faith. Don't assume that just your family and friends are doing okay just because they say they are doing okay. As Jim mentioned or read in the scripture verse in Ruth 1:16, we see a little bit of this act. As he said, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. We will get into that a little bit more, but as we get into Ruth chapter 1, let's meditate, let's think about the power of this young lady and her determination, her intentionality, and her influence, and what kind of impact she made. Chapter 1, verse 1, it's titled Naomi and Ruth. So in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. We don't get any more detail of how he died, but it's just saying, hey, he passed away. He's no longer there. They just moved. So they just uprooted their family to where they knew, to a new land, to a different place. And now, getting settled, her husband has passed. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And they had lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. In verse 6, it goes on, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Now, this is where the crossroad comes and the common sense from Naomi saying, you know what, I'm going back to my homeland. It makes no sense for you two to come with me. Go back to your homeland, right? We're going to see this discourse and we're going to find out the heart, really, or the character of two of these young ladies really quickly. In verse 8, and then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. At this, they wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Please listen to these next words. But Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. And as mentioned, we just read, right? Ruth's reply. She clung to her mother-in-law. Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Ruth had this willingness to give it all, to follow Naomi's people, to live where Naomi lived, to follow Naomi's God, to learn more about him. In verse 17, where you die, I will die. She goes on, Ruth goes on further to say, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined, there's another key word, to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now, there's a lot of ways you can go with this. You can go into another sermon or another message about that relationship. But once again, we're just keying on Ruth clinging to her mother-in-law. Ruth taking a step of faith and wanting to go with her mother-in-law, to take care of her, to be with her, to take a step out, to go to this different land, this new land. Verse 19, we're almost through with chapter 1. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Now, why is that? Why do you think the whole town was stirred because two women coming into town? Because they'd heard of this story. They'd heard of this I don't want to say testimony, but it was a story of Ruth's compassion and Ruth's love for her mother-in-law. Not giving up, making sure that she would be cared for and taken care of. So then they trek and they make this journey. But when they arrived, once again, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Naomi immediately wanted to change her name. Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now, most of us know the rest of the story, right? It's not obviously a big book. It's four chapters. And we know the end story and what's going to happen. But, you know, in Naomi's mind, she was focused on the negative. My husband has passed. My two sons have passed. It's just my daughter-in-law and I, and we're coming back home, right? Don't call me Naomi, because the Lord has taken away. I left full and I came back empty. But we all know the end result. For me, I looked introspectively to myself as far as examples that I could use. And the first one, I look inwardly, you know, for the definition of this message of the power of one and growing in my walk and my journey with the Lord, was the first one, coming back to the church. Making an intentional effort to focus on Jesus, to give him my time and my energy for his glory and honor. I was raised in the Adventist church. I've shared this story before. My parents divorced when I was about 12 or 13, and I went away. I went away from the church. I knew God. I had a relationship with him because of my raising and my foundation. But I just went my own path for years. But I came back. Amen. Amen. He brought me back. And if you were to ask me years ago if I would have the opportunity to be here speaking a message about hope and the power of one and faith and clinging to Jesus, I would have laughed. But here I am. Here you are. We are here for a time such as this. I believe I heard it in the Sabbath School message this morning. Our time is short. It's very, very short. So I want to make sure I'm doing everything I can for him, not for me. So once again, that coming back to church, the Lord bringing me back, and that intentional effort for me to focus on him, to give him my time, my energy, that's what it was for me inwardly. Outwardly, it was my focus with the help of my beautiful wife to start Bible studies, small groups in our home and in our church. The power of one. I'm telling you guys, I'm an introvert by heart. I would be the guy in the church in the back, right? Or the sides. Easy exit, right? After the message. I could get in, get out, right? I get the message. Yeah, boy, I was at church, mom or grandma. I went to church today, right? And then it was out. There was no meat to that, right? Or veggie meat to that, right? So I had that inward, you know, opportunity and growth with the Lord. And it, so it brought my focus to then not on me, but on others. Ruth was not about her. It was about her mother-in-law. It was about others. She was young. She would go back to her homeland. In Naomi's mind, go back to your homeland. Find a husband, right? You've got plenty of years. It says it here. My daughters, it's more bitter for me. Naomi's saying that. It's more bitter for me. I've got the most lost. You've got plenty of your life. What I hear translated there is you've got plenty of life left. Young, you know, go get married. You can have kids, live a life. But Ruth, it was not about Ruth. It was about Naomi. It was about taking care of others. It was about looking after others. And that has helped me in my walk. And I hope it's helping you, that Jesus is showing you along this path of life that it's not just about me. It's not just about you. This is where I truly started to understand, like I just said, it's not about me. The Lord has a purpose for me in my life. The Lord has a purpose for you and you and you and your life. And what is that? To share love. The love that he has for all of us. Not just one person or one group. All of us. We are all the children of God. The simple act that Ruth made with Naomi. She goes to this land. She threshes on the threshing floor in the field of just the man by the name of Boaz, who happened to be a kinsman redeemer. We go through this story. Like I said, I won't go through all the details, but long story short, the Lord brought Naomi and Ruth at the perfect time of harvest to be with Boaz in his field, right? To then be redeemed by this man Boaz, who was a relative of this family, right? A kinsman redeemer. And we see this beautiful timing that God has for Ruth and Boaz. And let's not forget Naomi, right? Who had just said, Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made me what? My life what? Bitter. Now, in retrospect, she sees the fullness of the faithfulness of Ruth. The faithfulness of Naomi and Ruth coming back. The faithfulness of Boaz taking special, I don't want to say attention, but just noticing Ruth and wanting to help her. Her physical needs first, right? But then the Lord says, no, you two are going to marry. And in chapter 4, I just, as mentioned, I'm going to start in verse 13 of chapter 4. And once again, it kind of attests to the wording I used earlier, that ripple effect and that act, that small one act and what it can do and what can happen. So in chapter 4 of Ruth, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, listen to this, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Do we not serve an awesome God? His timing is always perfect, 100% of the time. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. What a beautiful story of a young woman who clung to her mother-in-law. And I say, Heath, are you clinging to Jesus like Ruth is clinging to Naomi? Heath, are you willing to cling to Jesus to go to another land? Are you willing to cling to Jesus to leave your family, your friends? Are you willing to cling to Jesus for His will? For His purpose? Have you been intentional in your walk with the Lord? Or were you ever determined, as Ruth was, to stand up and give it all to the Lord? Like Ruth, she set her homeland, her family, and her God aside to travel with Naomi back to her homeland, her people, and her God. Not knowing what tomorrow will bring can be nerve-wracking for sure. Does anybody worry about this today? Can I get a show of hands? Who just worries about today? Okay, that was good. That's really good. I need to talk to you afterwards. It is hard to not worry about tomorrow. We just assume that, hey, we're going to have this nice service today. We're going to have a nice potluck. I can smell the food. It smells great, right? And then I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to go home, and everything's going to be good. We may not have that. I may not have that. But where I'm going with this is we need to step out in faith in everything we do, because this is where I believe we start to experience the true power of one. Once again, it's not on me to be that power of one. I have to be that with Jesus. I have to be willing to step out and cling to Jesus for Him to be then that power of one with me. Speaking of ripple effects and that small little stepping out of faith or being intentional and really the end game or the end goal and what that outcome looks like for Jesus, I'd like to tell you another story real quick. Do any of you know the name of the man Edward Kimball? Okay. I did not either. As researching for this message some time ago. But this is a very interesting story of a man named Edward Kimball. Most people don't know who Edward Kimball is. He was a Sunday school teacher back years ago. But he was intentional. Once again, that word. He was intentional on his message and on teaching young men about Jesus. Converting young men for Jesus. And there was one particular young man that he was praying about. And this young man just did not understand fully the gospel message or come to accept it at the time. So Edward Kimball one day went to where this young man worked. He actually worked at a shoe store at the time. And he met this young man. This young man was kind of in the corner. And he, you know, obviously they knew each other from Sunday school, from church. And he presented the gospel message to this young man very clearly, very precisely. And this young man in that shoe store accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That young man was named D.L. Moody, or Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody was a famous evangelist. Impacted a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman, fast forward, had the ability and the opportunity from God to reach a professional baseball player. Once again, this is years ago, by the name of Billy Sunday, who left the baseball profession and became an evangelist, who then met Mordecai Ham. And this Mordecai Ham that was influenced went to a town, Charlotte, North Carolina, years ago, where a young, lanky, sandy-haired boy by the name of Billy Frank, a.k.a. Billy Graham, came to hear what this man had to say. And after a few nights at the meetings, Billy gave his heart to Jesus. And the rest we know is history. What I want us to look at is how powerful just one person or one act can make as a determined stand, to take a determined stand for the Lord, can impact many, if not thousands, maybe millions, for Jesus. What an honor it would be, or will be, in heaven one day, and someone comes up to you and says, "Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you. You're welcome. What? Because you stood up and you stood out and you were determined and you took a step of faith, you had a Bible study in your home. You had a Bible study in your church. You did a Bible study for your dentist clinic. And my dad came to that clinic to get healed physically. But the spiritual gifts that he got were eternal. Because my dad showed me about Jesus because of what you did. Because the act that you did. What an honor that would be. To say that I can play a small part. We can play a small part. And have a huge eternal impact for Jesus. Amen. For me, when I came back to the Lord in church, God then used me to help others around me grow. Whether we realize it or not, we cause small little ripple effects in our daily lives. Some of these ripple effects can lead to greater things for Jesus. Some, while others, can cause distractions along the pathways of life. My question today is, are you willing to ask the Lord? This is big. Are you willing now to ask the Lord to give you, to give me an opportunity to be used as the power of one? For him today. Like Ruth, she determined, as that word again, she determined to step out in faith and go with Naomi and into a land and a people she did not know. But yet God blessed her. God blessed Boaz. God blessed Mara, now Naomi, right? She probably changed her name back to Naomi. She's full again. She has this grandson. She has someone to take care of her. She sees God's full circle and his plan in her life. And it not just affected her, it went well beyond. And that's just like us today. It goes well beyond the walls of this church. It goes well beyond the walls of your house and your workplace. So my question today, are you willing to be determined, intentional, influential for Jesus? Will you stand up and start a positive ripple effect for Him? A ripple effect that will cause many to learn about Jesus and hear and have an eternal impact for God and the kingdom. Thank you very much. Father God, once again, I praise your name. I thank you so much. We thank you so much for being in our lives. Please impart the wisdom and the words from this wonderful book of Ruth to our hearts. May we study and meditate and use and then be the feet of you and be an action for you. We love you and we thank you. And bless this beautiful church family here in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And bless this day. For we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.